Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. Today, we're going to have an awesome conversation. I was going to say interesting, hot topic.
All of the above.
I think we're going to touch it all today.
We're going to do it all. You know, it feels like I haven't been here forever.
It feels
so
that
I just want to say hi to all of our listeners again, that maybe you haven't heard me in a while, but it's good to be back with you guys and know that I've been thinking about you, praying for you, love you, and I'm grateful for Pastor Brian and Pastor Terrence and you know all the team that jumps in. It's always good.
Yep.
I saw those clips online. I was like,
we're trying to do a little upgrade. Actually, shout out to our team. If you are watching the YouTube, you can see that we upgraded our room, which I think it was in need of, and man, we're so blessed.
Yeah.
And so again, it's the same microphone, but man, it warms up the room a bit.
It's a new look, little mood. It's something's going on there. So it's good.
You notice our conversation different today, it's because
it's going to be more.
Yeah. Come on.
It's going to be a better conversation because we look better, I guess.
Well, you know, I know you're not a guest, but it's because it feels like you hadn't been around. Like, oh, we have our guest today, Pastor Dan. But no, not a guest, never a guest.
I'm one of the two, right? The OGs. I've got more time on this with you than anybody else does. So you know, they're all the guests.
I feel like, because I do have a vacation coming up, and I know you'll have a vacation coming up. So we'll see some new faces. And it's never been about, I just love this podcast because we have such great conversations regardless of who's on it. But it is fun being on here.
I do have to say, though, Pastor Antonio, you ask the best questions. Thank you. You're very good at this.
I've been a
driving force in this. Yeah. I don't know that it would have lasted as long if it was just on me, because I'd get interest in someone else or say, I've got to do this, you know. But you have kept us going, and so I do appreciate your heart and your determination to make this thing.
Well, thank you.
And as well, to ask the questions, you know, and to bring up the tough conversations that we all need to have.
Well, thank you, Pastor Dan. I do appreciate that, and it really is an honor, and I do appreciate the trust in being able to get, and then in your time again, because like you said, there's been things that we've done maybe we're not doing that, and you have a very full schedule, and for you to make the time, I know our I feel like our church is blessed from it. And again, it's never been our heart. We're not aiming to go viral. We're not trying to become an online thing. But we also know that this is a tool that can reach people, and even if it's for our church, it's been a blessing.
They love it. Yeah, I know. I get so many good comments at the back door, and people that when I get to have a conversation with people, they're like, hey, I love the podcast. Keep up the good work, that sort of a thing. And so it's great that we have this avenue.
Yeah, and I'm naturally an inquisitive person.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I've learned in asking questions is I do want, because I consume podcasts and content myself. So that's been the benefit in continuing this on is, hey, ask some of the questions that people will benefit from. And sometimes I'm, you know, lobbing some questions up and I'm like, hopefully it doesn't look like I know the answer to this, guys. You know, like, aren't you a pastor?
No, yeah.
But a lot of times I'm trying to get it out of our guests or whomever. And so it's just a great time. So again, thank you all for listening. Continue to listen. Pastor Dan, one of the things that we've talked about really, and we'll just kind of keep it casual, because I did want to, you had been out this week. I know you were golfing, and you've talked about golf before, and you know that I love your analogies on golf, because it's always this. It's kind of how I feel about golf. It's like no one's really good at golf. It's just kind of supposed to be fun.
Yeah, I was joking with the guys because we played a golf tournament for a local Christian school, and had a great time playing.
Yeah.
You know, and we brought our principal from our school to you know, go to school, that if we ever do a golf tournament, and if you would love to be a part of that to raise money for our school, we would love to hear from you and connect with you. But so we took Mr. Goodson and had our finance guy Adam, which we often call out from the pulpit, and then Pastor Mario, who is the pastoral covering over the school as well. And so we were just going, you know, learning about a golf tournament, that sort of a thing. And they've been to a couple others and seen that. But when we were playing, it was so funny because, you know, you see other golfers and these guys, and you think, man, you know, I'm not that good, and everybody else is better. That's the assumption. Everybody else is good at this game. And, you know, so when you see someone else on another team that's playing, and you just hear them go, man, you know, or whatever. And I leaned over to the guys. I said, Pastor Jim used to say, no one is good at this game. And it's true. I mean, you, and out of the 18 holes, what's crazy is you can hit one good shot.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to retire as the king of the world. I am the best at golf, and I'll be back next time to play again.
It draws you back. It's enough to draw you back.
The rest of the game could be totally bad, but that one good shot. So, I played Monday for the tournament and had a couple. good shots, which was nice. You know, I was using the irons.
I need to get out here more often. I bet that's the thought, right?
That is the, if only I was consistent, you know, commitment without consistency.
That's right.
You know, but I love the game. It's fun. I love being outside. And I've said this too, anything with a horizon, you know, whether it's walking, paddleboarding, if it's riding a bike, something like that, you know, I love anything with a horizon. And golf has beautiful horizons. You know, you're outside, you've got green grass, you got big trees, birds chirping. You know,
yeah.
But what's funny is the last time I was at this course before this, I was playing with a group of church leaders, and we were in the midst of this one area, and they were having a fiesta apparently because they had mariachi blasting. And one of the guys, I know he didn't know Spanish at all, but he just started singing along and having a good time. Yeah. So it's fun, you know.
Those are fun memories. That's probably the point, right? They're just everyone's kind of out, unless you're like the hardcore, which is
what's crazy. He's usually the hardcore guy, but he just let loose and was like singing mariachi, even though he didn't know the words. He was trying, those are fun moments. Those it lightens the mood, and we have a good time. That's good.
Well, you know, I would say invite me next time, but I'm not a great golfer.
we'll bring you with the another group.
Yeah, where's the for fun team?
No, me. I know those guys too. I've been a part of that team. So,
Pastor, at the top of the episode today, we talked about kind of touching on some hot topics, and again, it's never our thought to try to rile any feathers, but oftentimes, and as a pastor, you and I both experience questions that people have that are very near and dear to them, and their challenges. And they're really seeking counsel and guidance about how to navigate through different areas of life. And one of them is authority. And again, even that's kind of maybe sent some shivers, right? Because people don't like the concept of authority, or they wonder what it really means and how is it properly defined. So I do want to bring this up to you in a way. And maybe I think the goal from the conversation or some things that I'd like to walk away with is maybe even an understanding of godly authority, and then how we're supposed to, maybe the word I'm looking for is, can we walk away from the conversation today with at least a better lens at how we approach it, right? Maybe we don't have all the answers. Maybe we're not exactly sure where we land on its application, but I think we can all leave a little bit better about, all right, this is how I want to use this guideline as I approach certain different circumstances.
I think, you know, you mentioned a word, godly authority. And I think that we have to understand that all authority is given by God, because God is the supreme and ultimate authority, but not all authority is godly.
Yes.
Even though it's been given by God. And I think this is where people have a big problem.
Yeah.
Because they assume that a person who's in authority got there because God placed them there. But then when they're ungodly, they say, well, then are they supposed to be there?
Right.
And if they're not supposed to be there because they're ungodly, why should I submit to them?
And
those are valid questions. I think that's the thing is that, you know, it can get confusing. Well, wait, if they're placed there by God, but then they're doing something wrong or sinful or, you know, something that I just flat out disagree with or that the Bible disagrees with, know, where we're submitted to the authority of God and the Word, now they're doing something contrary to that. How can I submit to that? And I think that's where we have to define what are we talking about. And that's why it's important to say all authority is given by God. But not all authority is going to be godly.
Yes, that's good.
Prime example, Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
Right? Here's a man who is raised up by God in order...
Let's pause. What does that mean, raised up by God? Because, you know, again, what is that? He placed him? Can maybe give a little bit more to that or context?
Well, obviously, we see from the scriptures, God creates all life, right?
Yeah.
And when it comes to humans, we're knit together in our mother's womb. God knew us before the foundation of the earth. And God's purposes in humanity, whether it be Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, whether it be you and me, right? Pastors, leaders, people, God has a purpose for all of us and a plan for our lives known to him from the ages past, right?
Amen.
And all of it is headed towards the ultimate redemptive goal of bringing the Christ to the earth to accomplish God's will and purpose on the planet. And, you know, we believe that there are vessels that are, you know, use and meat for the master, that they're, you know, vessels of honor, but there's also vessels of dishonor. Both are important, right? In your house, the silver bowl that you use to serve food to people is as important as your toilet and your trash can.
Right.
Now, you wouldn't obviously eat out of your toilet or
That's
your
good.
Trash can.
That's good, yeah.
Right?
Right.
You'd eat out of the silver bowl because why? That's what it was made for. That was its purpose. And that's where, you know, in Romans, the and even Jeremiah and other prophets, can the potter say to the clay, why did you make me this way?
Yes, that's right. That's
good. And is God unjust in making vessels of dishonor, right? Mm-hmm. Pharaoh's, here he is, hardened by God to accomplish his purpose of bringing the children of Israel out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, mm-hmm. and great plunder of the Egyptians even, so that God could pour out his vengeance upon the Egyptians. Well, how is that fair if God made Pharaoh for that purpose? Mm-hmm. Well, God, knowing everything, knew where Pharaoh's heart would be, knew that he was worshiping idols, knew that he would reject God, hardened Pharaoh even more so that his purposes could be accomplished. Same thing with Judas, right? Yeah. He was made, and he was the son of perdition, and he was appointed to be the one who would betray the Christ.
Yeah.
Part of his inner 12, right? Here he is, one of the closest people to Jesus on the earth, and yet his purpose was to betray the Christ so that he could be handed over for the death on the cross, right?
Yeah.
We would say, well, that's not fair. You made Judas for that purpose, but again, can the potter say to the clay, why'd you make me this way, right?
Right.
But God, knowing Judas's heart, knowing as he made him and his surroundings and how he would respond to environments, that sort of thing, knew that Judas would betray the Christ and so created him for that purpose, right? Big ideas, hard to understand, hard to follow, right? Yeah. But when you see that the vessel was made for that purpose and that God knows our hearts and knows our propensities and knows which way, and known to God from the beginning are all his works, even knowing the outcomes, right? And this is where people get into predestination, all that kind of stuff. That aside, okay, because we don't have time to get into that today. We'll get into that in Romans when we get back into the Romans scriptures. We'll talk about that extensively in the theological context and what that looks like. But God, knowing the outcome of our lives from before time and space ever began, knew where we would be, what we would do, and knew the purposes and for what he created us for. So, Nebuchadnezzar, right, comes at a strategic time in world history.
Yeah.
He's raised up to oversee the nations, and even they were aware that the Lord had raised them up to be an instrument of God's wrath on the nations that rebelled against him.
Yeah.
And so you find that, I was just reading it this morning, it's kind of crazy, because I'm going through the one-year Bible in half a year, so I'm reading two entries a day, basically, but part of this morning was when Nebuchadnezzar came and was God's instrument, if you will, to come and take the children of Israel, specifically Judah, the kingdom of Judah, which is the southern kingdom with Judah and Benjamin. Israel had already been taken captive by the Assyrians, but Judah had rebelled and had gone against God, was worshiping idols, and you know, God likened them to two sisters that were adulterous. Mm-hmm. And so Judah saw what Israel did and doubled down on it. And so he said her sin was greater.
Yeah.
And even though Judah saw the captivity of Israel, didn't take heed, and just continued in her sin. So now the instrument that God used, or I use the term raised up, is Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians.
Yeah.
They come in, they break down the walls of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. They burn the entire city, all of the important buildings with fire. They take all the king's sons, and all of the nobles. Military leaders, governors, all that, they take them to another land and they murder them. They kill them.
Yeah.
Slaughter them. Zedekiah, the king at the time, his eyes are gouged out after he watches his sons be killed right in front of his eyes.
Right.
Then they gouge out his eyes and they take him captive to Babylon where he eventually dies. Mm-hmm. What's crazy is Jeremiah is a part of the captivity. He was in prison and they chain him up. They start taking him away to Babylon, and one of the leaders, they find Jeremiah. They go looking for him.
Yeah.
And when they find him, they tell him, hey, the Lord pronounced this. Yeah. You said when your prophecy, so they were aware of the prophecies of Jeremiah, which to me is mind-blowing, right?
Right. Yeah.
But what did God say to Jeremiah? I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. Mm-hmm. So we hear of him saying, say to the king of Babylon, say to the king of Tyre, say to the, you know, and we think that he was just speaking it out and they never heard. No, they probably sent letters and these people heard these prophecies.
Yeah.
And God, just like Jonah was a prophet to Nineveh, right? Mm-hmm. And the whole place repented. I believe that was God's heart in sending these messages to these people.
Yeah.
So here's a prophet that was raised up. So they knew that God had pronounced destruction on Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They knew what the Lord was saying through Jeremiah. They go and they find him and they say, hey, you can either come with us, we'll treat you well, or you can stay here and be amidst of your people. Yeah. Jeremiah chooses to stay.
Yeah.
They give him money and food and provisions.
Right.
And send him on
to
his way. And say,
to honor what,
Your whole land is in front of you.
Yeah.
But they recognized that God had raised them up for his purpose. Mm-hmm. What was his purpose? To take them captive, because the Lord said, if you don't serve me, I'll send you to the nations, right?
Yeah.
I'll disperse you. But then after 70 years, I'm going to bring you back, which God does. We know that Ezra and Nehemiah and that whole return from the exile happens. So here's the authority that's raised up by God in order to accomplish God's purpose. But he was also judged for what he did.
Yeah, right, because it's not like Nebuchadnezzar was a nice guy.
No.
Yeah, he wasn't doing nice, kind things.
Right?
Yeah.
Murderous man. Created a huge statue that said, I want everybody to bow down and worship. When you hear the sound of the music going, you're going to bow down and you're going to worship. And if you don't, I'm throwing you in the fire.
Right.
You're going to die.
Yeah.
In a horrible way. Be burned to death. Right? Mm-hmm. So here's a famous story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mm-hmm. And they don't bow.
Right.
They stand strong. Nebuchadnezzar gets so mad when they tell him, we're not bowing. Mm-hmm. That he heats up the furnace, and the guys that are throwing them in, they die trying to throw them in because it's so hot.
Yeah.
So here's a murderous man. Here's a egotist. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy who's so full of himself that he doesn't give glory to God, even though he's hearing messages from God, even though he knows he's God's instrument, even though he's already seen the miracles that have taken place, right? He says, Shadrach, Meshach, come out. I see a fourth man like one of the sons of God, right? Mm-hmm. And he recognizes that the Lord God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he is God.
Yeah.
Right? He makes these statements, and yet he still is full of himself, full of pride.
Mm-hmm.
God has to humble him and send him out to the fields to run with the wild donkeys. His hair mats up like eagle's feathers, the Bible says.
Yeah.
His nails grow out. He eats grass.
Yeah.
And yet God restores him back. Now, ungodly, but was raised up by God.
Well, you touched a point that where the question that we get comes from. So here's an authority.
Yes.
Like you said, set up by God.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the context of how we understand authority. I know I'm going to cover this in the Bible college class that I teach, whether it's our civic authority, which is maybe our local government.
Right.
There's the godly authority, of course, first. Our family structure, mom and dad, dad at the head of the home or husband at the head of the home. Right. There's these different, and I'm missing one, the other one. Godly, civil.
Because you had civic, but civil, right?
Yeah, civil.
Your coaches, your teachers.
Yes, the authorities that are set up, police officers, laws, things like this.
Yeah.
And so within these authority structures, whether they're godly or not, you know, and I know in the West and specifically in the U.S., we'd like to think like, hey, for the most part, our Constitution and our laws try to streamline a bit under what would be godly freedom or liberties, and these are ever changing, especially in California. about how whatever the laws are, but there are places there are law structures that whatever they are, but here are God's people under the authority of Nebuchadnezzar, and there are rules, there are laws, there are regulations. Now God has placed them there. What's the expectation of those people under that authority? I've placed you here. I know you live under this place, but do my customs change? Do you do this? And I think this is where some of the questions have. We're not of this world. We're in this world. And where could you guide us with this kind of conversation? Because you gave the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were not following a specific thing to bow down. In everything else, were they expected to? Or where's the line? And because there are some people who don't like any government, whether it's not a party thing for them. It's like, I only answer to God.
Right.
And so where do we mess with this? Where do we?
Well, and that's a dangerous place to be, because if you only answer to God, God tells you to submit to the governing authority. So are you really submitted to God?
Right.
I would say no.
Right.
And God never asks us to submit to sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not submit to sin when they refused to bow down to the image. Mm-hmm. Even though the authority was telling them to, they didn't.
Yeah.
They disobeyed.
Mm-hmm.
And God backed them in that. Daniel, later on in the same book, he will not stop praying.
Yeah.
And it got him thrown into a lion's den. Mm-hmm. And yet, he tells the king later on when the king comes to see if he's still alive, he says, has your God saved you? And he says, long live the king. That's the first words out of Daniel's mouth. Not, yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
He says, long live the king. And he says, I have not wronged you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was an amazing statement out of Daniel's mouth.
Yeah.
Let me give an illustration that I think will help us to understand this. You know, we're here in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
We have freedoms that other nations don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're walking around and we decide, hey, I want to spit my gum on the sidewalk. Now, societally, party foul, dude. You spit. Yeah. That's gross. Yeah. You know, don't do that, right? Yeah. But no police officer, if he sees you spit or spit your gum on the ground, is going to come and arrest you and, you know, try you or anything like that. If you go to other nations and you spit on the ground or spit your gum out or something like that, literally, you can be fined. Some places they will take a cane and they will strike your back with it.
Was it in the 90s? I remember that huge case. I was a teen and like, what the heck? They spanked him in front of everybody? The whole world watched this kid get spanked.
It was a big deal because we were all like, I'm not traveling there. Because if that's what they do for gun, I don't know what I'm going to do. But
they have clean streets.
They sure do. And I would imagine people actually respect the government and fear the government in that way. And so here's the point I'm making. When you're in the United States of America, there's certain ways that we can behave and act. But when you go to another nation and you're under a different government, you have to operate in the way of that government.
That's good.
Okay? We are a part of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
But we're strangers here. The Bible says we're sojourners, right? Mm-hmm. We're just passing through.
Right.
So we're visiting here on the earth in the natural kingdom, whatever kingdom that happens to be, whatever government or authority that happens to be. We're under the United States here where we live. We're under California where we live. We're under even our city, our local governments here in the empire, whatever city that is.
Yeah.
There's local ordinances and things that we are governed by that while we're here, we submit to.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, what if what the local governing authority that we're submitted to tells us to do something against the kingdom value and purpose that we're ultimately a part of?
Yeah.
Well, if it's sin, we don't submit, right? Good example of that we used in the message was when they told us not to chant, not to sing, not to blow an instrument like a trumpet, right? They were telling us not to gather during that season as well. And yet the Bible tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It tells us, sing to the Lord. It tells us, shout to God. It tells us to blow the trumpet, right? There's plenty of scripture that we have the authority of our government that tells us what to do. And so if you're going to tell me not to do that, while I respect you, while I'll submit to you, I'll give taxes, I'll give customs, I'll give honor, right? I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
I'll make sure to drive the speed limit and not cross the street where it doesn't say to, right? I'm going to use the crosswalks, all that kind of stuff. But when you tell me not to gather, when you tell me not to sing or to proclaim the word of God, right? I'm sorry, I can't submit to that. And that's where the difference is, okay? Let's make it even more divisive, shall we? Should we just throw a grenade right in the middle of this?
Yeah, come on, let's go.
Okay, so lots been said about our leaders, right? And I think California, the United States, without using names, but everybody knows what we're talking about in this season, right? We have a governor that's on one side of and a president that's on the other side, okay? Now, there are people who their party line determines their vote.
Right.
Okay. And with that, it also determines how they respond to the authority.
Yeah.
Now there are things on both sides, okay? Because I'm not happy with anybody in the way that they're leading right now. There's some things that I could say on both sides of this. And if you ask me which way do you listen, that's not the point.
Yeah.
Right? Ungodly is ungodly.
Yeah.
And people wonder, is it okay if an authority's been raised up by God when they make a decision that goes against the word of God, is it okay for me to say something? The answer to that is yes. It's okay to call evil evil.
Right.
It's okay to say that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's okay to say I don't agree. What's not okay is to curse the leadership, to disrespect them, to speak evil of them, to use them as a joke or a byword.
Right.
Right. There's been names used for our governor that I will not use.
Yeah.
Where they take his name and they reference him in a certain way.
Right.
Even though I don't agree with him on many points, I will not use those terms. And God forgive me if I have, you know, in jest or whatever, in casual conversation. I can't remember, but I probably have. Forgive me, God, you know, because that's disrespect. And that's not what God has told us to do.
Doesn't allow us in with following this authority structure that he's established. That's not our place.
Not our place. And on the other side of that, when I look at our president in recent times, he's made statements.
Yeah.
That I say, dude, shut your mouth.
Right.
You know, like, come on.
Yeah.
He's actually opened the door for certain laws and certain things in our land that I vehemently disagree with when it comes to certain areas that even locally in California, have already been in place. Now, federally, he's taking some of these things and opening them up. And I say that's unwise.
Right.
You know, and I say that's not where we should be going as a nation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and when our president makes statements that are bold and rude that I disagree with, I'm not going to say, oh, the angry old man or orange man or whatever people have been saying. You know, those things are disrespectful and dishonoring to our leaders. If he's making a wrong choice, pray for him.
Yeah. So you don't get to curse the guy that you don't like and then praise the guy you do or whatever.
And I think
you
that's like where less or... some people are like, well, how do I explain him to other people? Yeah. Listen, your job is not to explain him.
Yeah.
Your job is not to justify his actions. Your job is to pray for him, to honor him, to respect him, to do what he says as long as it's not sin.
Right.
And then to not do what he says if it is sin.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's him or our governor or any other leader.
Well, so, sorry, the question I think of is the room for either criticism or expressing dislike in a certain position.
Right.
There's ultimately probably a line of where now I don't want to co-sign sin.
Right.
And I don't want to turn my eye at sin either.
Right.
So, and again, this goes to, I mean, we're in the day where we think our opinion matters. We have to say something about everything because our opinion so matters.
Right. And if I could quote a kid's cartoon, you know, shut up, everybody. Like, just come on, you know.
And again, a lot of it is based on your assumption that we need to say something. But even if we're not saying it or posting it, I know that I've felt frustrated about laws and statements on political parties. I mean, all the way down to, the joke I use in, because I teach the biblical understanding biblical authority class, I always use the HOA because everyone tends to have mutual.
What is it? Can we just pause for a second? You just opened up a whole can of worms. What is it about the HOA that they become these little dictators?
Right.
Yeah, if you're on an HOA, I love you. We need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord.
Well, and it's funny because I thought about this again because I just got in the mail 2 days ago, the ballot for the HOA, you know, the board, right? And everyone, but anyways, there's usually a disdain or distrust of the HOA, but it is a great illustration of an authority that I am to honor.
Mow your lawn.
If I let my weeds grow,
mow your lawn.
I leave my trash cans out.
Take the trash in.
And if I don't like it, guess what? I always say, move.
Move.
I can try to change. I can try to get on the board, which I would want to do. If I don't like, this is the authority that's set up here.
Right, right.
And there's a lot of, that's what I'm saying. It poses a great illustration, but it never leaves me to be able to, I don't get to egg the HOA, find out where the board members live or curse out the board members.
No.
Or put pictures of them with mustaches or whatever.
Even though your flesh might want to, that would be sin. Right, right? It's disrespect. It's dishonor.
Because it's an authority. Right. It's a silly example, but not a silly example. But it's just like maybe an easy example of an authority structure.
I think it's a great example because that's where if we can do it on that level, right? If we can respectfully disagree, like, hey, I don't agree that these paint choices for the color of my fence. Yeah. Are aesthetically
pleasing.
You
must live where I live.
I've lived in
man,
HOAs,
no,
you know?
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, you can't even paint your house the color you want.
Right.
But you signed up for that.
Yeah.
You recognize that I'm going underneath a governing authority of this area that I'm living in, and we're going to agree to those things.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we disagree, that we can do it reasonably.
Yeah.
We can comply as long as it's not sin.
Yeah.
You know, my last HOA, the person that moved in after me, we're still in a relationship, and they shared like they had a spring wreath on their house during the spring.
Yeah.
And they told them, take it down, that Christmas decoration doesn't belong. And they're like, it's a spring wreath.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, no, it's not. You know, take it down. Like, they had to comply.
Yeah.
Even though it frustrated them, and they were like, this is stupid, you know? But at the same time, they complied. Why? Because they submitted themselves to the authority. Right.
But it represents Jesus. And I think this is where people can run with, this is my expression of my faith and this and that. But going back to the initial example, you wonder where the pushback was even in God's people under this rule.
Well, let's just talk about that because I believe you made a statement just now that's so important. This is an expression of my faith.
Yeah.
Submission is an expression
of
your faith.
Wow, that's so good.
Wow. You know what I mean? Like when you say, hey,
so good.
I don't agree, but I'm going to
Wow.
comply.
See, but it's quiet and people think it has to be the loud.
There's so much power in it.
Come
though,
on,
because,
that's
okay,
so good.
Okay, so here's Peter. And Paul, right? These two great apostles, one to the Jews, one to the Gentiles. They both write these letters. both of them talk about submission to authorities. Mm-hmm. Both of them talk about praying for leadership.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, when we brought this out, honor all people, mm-hmm. love the brotherhood, which, yeah. okay, yeah, we're supposed to love our Christian brothers and sisters, right? Fear God. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I fear God. Honor the king. Hold up.
Yeah. yeah.
Because the king at that time was either the local king, mm-hmm. Herod, mm-hmm. who was murdering members of the church, or it was the
yeah.
Caesar,
yeah.
which was Nero, mm-hmm. burning Christians at the stake, yeah. right? This guy was mad. This guy was marrying a young man and calling him his wife. You talk about transgender. That right, was going yeah. on way yeah. back then.
Right.
Okay? So here's Christians who are, their values are completely different than that.
Yep.
And Peter's telling them, honor the king. Mm-hmm. Right? Paul writes, pray for those that are
yeah.
in authority.
Yeah.
Right? Intercession should be made, first of all, for mm-hmm. kings and those in authority. Who is the king we're praying for?
Yeah.
Let's pray for Nero. Let's pray for Herod.
Yeah.
Let's pray for Pilate.
And you almost want, I mean, this question that comes up, if it was one for something to change right then, or the condition of our heart posture mm. to be able to, I mean, because that prayer changes things. We are very yeah. well aware of that. But in the process of prayer, you've always said this, it's hard to hate people that you're praying for.
That's true. you know Absolutely. What I'm saying? And I think that's why Jesus said, pray for your enemies.
Because if
pray
you're for those praying for them,
you. Yeah, you can't hate them
while
you pray for them.
You're not really, you know, you can't. So, I mean, I'm not hating this king. I don't like his position. I don't
right.
like what he says. I don't, man, he's opposed to us.
Yeah.
But yet my heart posture sees this guy as God's creation.
And you know what? If they are wicked and if they're not going to repent, and my prayer for our leaders is simply this, that God would give them wisdom and grace to do his will. Yeah. Number one, I pray this every day, wisdom and grace to do his will. That if they're not going to do his will, that they would remember what? Who God is, why? Yeah. Who raised them up, that they would repent,
yeah.
and that they would return to God's way. And that if they will not repent, that God remove them mm-hmm. and replace them. There's no problem praying yeah. that. God, if they're ungodly, they're not going to do your will, remove them and replace
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And leave that in God's hands, you know?
Yeah.
And I have prayed that over leadership. I've yeah. prayed that over local
yeah.
as well as national leaders.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not all going to do what's right, and right. they're not going to do it perfect. They're imperfect people.
Yeah.
Some of them will be godly. Some of them will be ungodly. All of them are set up by God.
Yeah. You know, man, this is so good, Pastor Dan. I know we opened up a can of worms, and I don't think we left it wide open. I think we're kind of putting a lid on this,
but just
we are landing the plane. We didn't talk about all the areas of authority, but I think it's the same rule and heart.
You could apply it to church leadership. Yeah. You could apply it to, different family, honoring your father and your yeah. mother. If your father and your mother are doing, I've had people ask me, Pastor, my father and my mother, they're ungodly, mm-hmm. they're unsaved, and, I don't want to bring my kids around them. Is that yeah. dishonor to them? Right. No, mm-hmm. you're protecting your kids.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's going to look different. Mm-hmm. What does honor look like? Well, I'm going to pray for them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to tell them happy birthday. I'm going to, mm-hmm. I'll go to lunch with them, but yeah. I just don't want mm-hmm. that influence there.
Yeah.
You're the parent.
Yeah.
You know, before God, you got to raise your kids, and people feel bad about those right. things. And even the guilt from the family. Well,
yeah.
you don't bring them around. Well, yeah, because I don't want them being molested at the mm-hmm. family party.
Right.
You know, I've done too many, and you've done yeah. too many spiritual guidances right. where we hear those stories. Yes. Well, you know, so-and-so wanted to have them over at the house, and, you know, they had a boyfriend that came in, and, yep. you know, it's just,
yeah.
you got to protect your kids before mm-hmm. God. So, yeah, I'll love you if I'm there, mm-hmm. you know, that sort mm-hmm. of a thing. But I know people that they're like, my kid's not going in the house, or yep. my kid's not going to be around here, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You before God have to raise your children the best of your right. ability. Honor doesn't mean, you know, allowing those things.
Yeah.
It means, hey, I love you. I'm going to pray for you. And, you know,
that's
where that is, you know.
Well, I know you'll continue to step on our toes, not with an intention or an agenda to get us to think one way or the other, but to walk in a godly
Absolutely. Mindset. It's all about what does the word say.
Right.
You know,
it will challenge us. It will prompt
for sure.
us. It will make us have to kind of wrestle with things mm-hmm. in our own mind. But we want to land on the God side of these things.
And in some ways, the word is like sandpaper that's just Good. Smoothing out the rough edges of mm-hmm. our life. You know,
yeah.
we all need that. There's areas, obviously, we're all people mm-hmm. who were sinful
yeah.
in need of a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the word of God, even though it may be abrasive at times,
yeah.
and really feel rough and, I hate this. You know what I mean? There's scriptures that I read that I'm like, God, can I just wipe that part out or rip it out of the Bible and just...
That's not what you really meant, right?
Skip it. Yeah. You meant something else,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yet God says, no, if you'll submit to my authority and my word, even if you don't understand, mm-hmm. even if you don't see the outcome.
It's good.
Right? I'll bless you. That's the fear of the Lord that we need to walk in. And part of that is honoring our leaders.
Well, I love that, Pastor. You said submission is an expression of our faith.
Yeah. Well, you said it first. But
no, that's so good.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts before we finish today?
You know, I sent out an email to the church, mm-hmm. and maybe some of you guys got that email, and you saw that I said, hey, I'd love to have your questions. I do have some questions that have come in, and I'm grateful for those of you that said, take your time, Pastor, because you heard that, you know. But we really do want to answer any questions and know that this does bring up some big things, you know, and there's even some pain points. And know that as we read those questions, we're going to give you a response, but we're also going to be praying for you. And some of you guys have asked us to pray for you. Know that we're praying for you. We're believing God for your life, for your family, for your future. You know, God has that in his grip. He's got that. And as you navigate that, you're not alone in it. We're with you, but even more than us, the Holy Spirit's with you. And I know it can be difficult, you know, and I've been around, you know, 46 years now. I know that's not a long time to some of you, but, you know, it's enough to have seen several changes in leadership and in authority. Even, you know, we've centered in a lot on the mm-hmm. civic, but also just in society and those types of things. And I've experienced it and been an authority myself as a church leader in authority. And know this, that as the times and the seasons change, that God has it all under his care, all under his control, and that the Lord's purposes will be brought forth. You keep your heart right. You keep following the Lord, fearing God and submitting to the authority as long as it's not sin. God will cover you. He'll protect you. He'll take you through the lion's den and through the fire.
Yeah. Hey, we love you guys. Again, like, comment, subscribe. Don't hesitate to throw a question in there. We love you guys. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you.